Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I am joined with two special guests. Well, one is my co-host, Coach Lee Marie.
Hey, everyone.
And I hope I pronounced this correctly, Anastasia.
That is correct. That's me. Hi, everybody.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us. Where are you joining us from?
I live in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. And she is, for those of you that don't know her, can you say your last name as well?
Spraggins.
Okay. So those of you that don't know, she was the overall winner at the Arnold Amateur. And you just recently did your pro debut, correct?
Correct. At the Clash on March
3rd. Yeah. And did very well. And we'll go into that all. But you also are in Peak Week. Is that right?
That is correct. Charlotte Cup is on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. So you're a busy woman. So thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time. I know how it is when you're prepping, and that can be a lot. So tell us a little bit about your background and kind of what you do for a living and all that.
Well, I'm a mom of three. I'm a single mom of three. My oldest is 12. She's a girl. My son is 10, and my tiny tot is 7. And so I am full-time in bodybuilding. So, all I do is compete, and, I'm a posing coach for Boss Bodies as well as an athlete, clearly. And then, sometimes I will like train people periodically when I'm asked, but that's not something like I make money off of.
Yeah. Wow. You're definitely busy. And, Casey Marshall's your coach, right?
Casey Marshall is my prep coach. John L. Warner is my training coach, and they both peak me together.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Well, Lee, do you have any questions to start off based on that?
Well, yeah. I just kind of want to know how long you've been competing. You just got a pro card this year, correct? Mm-hmm. So how long did you compete as an amateur? And then were you a coach on Team Boss Bodies as well the whole time as an amateur too?
Yes. So I started competing for the first time in July 2020. I did the Charlotte Cup. That is my first show of all time. Back then, there was no pro component. That was also the COVID era, so it was a little bit different. Actually, it was ran much better, in my humble opinion, back when COVID existed. So that's the reason why we are doing it now, so I can bring it full circle and see Johnny Stewart again. I'm very excited to see him. I started being a posing coach for Boss Bodies in January 1 of 2012. Well, I started in late November of 2022, but we announced me January 1st of 2022. So I've been coaching since then.
Wow.
Very cool.
I love it.
Awesome.
So how many national shows or pro qualifiers have you done leading up to the Arnold?
Leading up to the Arnold, I only did Junior USAs in 2023. That was the only national show I did. And I got first place there. But Junior USAs, it's top four out of the eight classes that turned pro. And I don't remember if I came in sixth out of the eight or seven, I don't remember, but it doesn't matter. If you're not getting your pro card, the placement to me never really matters. So prior to that though, 2022, I did Junior USAs and Junior Nats. 2021 was my big year. That was the year I did five national shows in a year. So I did Junior USAs, Junior Nats, USA Champs, North Americans, and NPC Nationals. North Americans, I missed my pro card by 2 points.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got second place. You win some, you lose some. And that's really just the way the sport works. I've never been happier than I was consistently, because I no longer can compete at nationals, but I was consistently in top five. So it was never really a big, big concern of mine. It was about turning, if I would turn pro, it was just really a matter about when was going to be God's timing for me. And I have to say, he showed up and showed out in more ways than one. So the way I turned pro was the most ideal. I would have preferred it there. There is not a time prior to stepping on nationals that I would have, I think, appreciated it the way I appreciated it at the Arnold.
Tell us more about that. Why is the Arnold so special for you?
It's not so much the Arnold. It's just it's not that particular show. It's everything I've had to overcome and endure. Like I said, I'm a single mom of three babies, and I wasn't clearly always a single mom. So stepping into that was different for me. And I'm a single mom in the full sense of the word. So there is absolutely no other parent but myself. The other parent does not participate at all. So it's just me and my nuggets. No, I'm a little over it. So people are like, oh, it's really not an aw. It's actually probably best for all of us. Like myself and my kids included. I have an extraordinarily large support system, a village that is completely unmatched in every corner and facet of my life. So I don't really have, I don't have the luxury of to say, woe is me. My kids are pillars. They are absolutely phenomenal. And not because they're my kids, because if they were someone else's kids, I'd be like, man, you got some amazing children, dude. But they are well-rounded, they are kind, they are thoughtful. They are extremely self-sufficient. I joke all the time that parenting for me is on autopilot. There's not a whole lot to do there. They do their homework without being asked. They do their chores without being asked. They don't fight and bicker. At best, my youngest doesn't like to listen to my oldest, but they police themselves pretty well. So I don't really have to intervene too often. And they're all my little broke besties. You know, we have a good time. I wish they would bring some money to the table. That would be nice, but I'm fine with that. But after having a pretty rough 2022 and living in a state of what I call rage all of 2023, having that sit down and moment with God and just being like, all right, I can't live like this forever. So what do I need to do? And it was really just about letting go and actually healing versus saying I've let go and healed, forgiving myself and other people. And when I was able to do that, everything else kind of fell into place. I was, I spent a lot of time with my kids, but I can honestly and transparently say I was not present. Even while physically being there. And so I made that 180 promise to myself and to God on January 1st that I would be more present and live my life, and prep would be secondary, and it has been. And I'm a firm believer that prep does not have to be miserable. It doesn't have to take away from anything. It can absolutely just enhance. Prep is really just checking the boxes. Like, as long as you check the boxes that day, there's really not a whole lot to do. So I still go out. When I say I go out, I mean like I go out. Like I go out. I love a good lounge. You know what I mean? The only change that's happening when we're going to see the latest DJ is I'm having a Diet Dr. Pepper versus a cocktail. That's really, it's really the only difference. But I'm still seeing my friends just as regularly. I don't live obsolete from anybody or isolate myself. My kids and I go out at least 2 times a week minimum. We love the movies. That's our thing. So we usually go to the movies a lot. Two of my siblings live with me. So I'm the oldest of 8 kids. So the 2 of the adults live with me. I really have a very good support system. Being the oldest and the only one with grandchildren, I'm never in short supply of somebody who wants to take care of their kids. And because I have such well-behaved and easygoing children, I very rarely get told no to, because there's not a whole lot. Feed them, and that's really about all the stretch of what you're doing in the way of entertainment. So going through all of those things and those transitions and transitioning my children into having a 2-parent household, into having a 1-parent household, and all of us trying to healing, it made, like I said, it's not necessarily just the Arnold. There would have been any show that I won the overall, but to kick the season off at the very start of it and win, not just turn pro, but win the overall with my daughter there with me. I could not have asked God for a better way to do it. The only thing I think I would have preferred or changed is having my 2 other kids there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, sorry if it's long-winded.
No, that was a beautiful answer. I love that. And I have to say that I was really touched by the video of you helping the Down syndrome athlete. I thought that was
Fiona.
Insanely amazing that you did that. So can you kind of explain to our listeners if they didn't watch that?
Sure. It's always interesting. People have been complimenting me on that. And I think it's such a strange thing to be complimented on. So Fiona was number 131 and I was number 130. So she had to go after me. When we got lined up, they had us lined up, you're lined up on the stairs, then you're lined up at the bottom of the stairs, but then you're like a few feet away from that. When we're a few feet away from that, her mom is still standing there trying to give her like pep talk or like give her morale. It's a massively sized stage. It's the largest stage I have ever stepped stage on. So I can't imagine, it would be intimidating for anyone. So I can't imagine it not being intimidating for her. I'm the oldest of eight kids. I have a sister with Down syndrome. And so her mom, trying to explain to me, I said, oh, you don't have to explain anything about her. I know exactly what's going on here and it's none of my business anyway. And her mom was a little scared that she was not going to actually get on stage. I said, oh, we're going to get on stage. Don't worry. We'll get up there one way or the other. And so when we got finally to the side curtain, when they called my number and my name, and I looked at her and I told the expediter, she's not going to go on that stage unless somebody helps her out there. So like, y'all have to figure out something because I will not go on until we get her on first. And so they promptly and quickly, accommodated that. They didn't give me any pushback. Tony, who is like on stage, is one of the expediters. I've seen him a few times at Nationals, so he gave me zero argument. Yeah, he really is. He gave me zero argument. He just went to the guy speaking and said, I need you to swap the names, read Fiona's first. And so, I was like, all right, Fiona, let's do it. I thought when I got her center stage, she would go by herself. That did not happen. So we just ran through a routine together really quickly so I could, support her as best as I could. And that's really all that was about. I was very proud and happy for her. I knew in my mind, everybody was like, the goal is to turn pro that day. Weren't you worried about how that would affect you? And, I really could give it like a crap. Like I really could, like I had another shot. Like there's plenty of Nationals, right? Like, and I wasn't worried or concerned when I would turn pro. I knew it would happen eventually. So win or lose, I had another shot. Fiona may not. And so I refused to let that happen to her that day. She just deserved the experience we all get. I love competing. So she deserved to be able to fall in love with it too.
I'm so glad you did that for her. That is amazing. So Lee, do you have any questions for?
Yeah, I love that you said that you love competing and you've done a lot of shows, especially that one year when you did a lot. What is like one of your favorite things about show day and why you love competing so much?
Closing. Right. That's it. That's really it. I'd compete every weekend if I didn't have to do my hair and makeup and put a tan on. Like I would. I'm not a girl that wears makeup often or in her day-to-day life. It's just not what I'm not even like, oh, let me get some eyeliner and some let me put on some concealer. No, what you see is what you're getting. I don't have the patience. I'll do my hair, but it's usually curls, and my curls are like easy because it's just wash and leave. Like I just get out the shower and go. I also have like a lot of hair, like an insane amount of hair. So I don't particularly love having to straighten it and to get on stage. And everybody's like, there's no extensions in there. No, unfortunately, it's all me. So if there's anything I love about competing, it's being on stage. It feels like home. My heels hit the stage and it's a completely different energy. I like to call it Big Stassi. So like we just show up and we show out. Mm-hmm. To the best of our abilities, because all the work is done that day, I'm no longer concerned about did we come in right or did we not come. It doesn't matter. We're here now. So if I had one thing I'd love, it is absolutely posing. I throw everything I have into that.
So can you tell the listeners what you placed at your pro debut?
Yes, I placed fourth, which, is a big deal. Everybody keeps asking me how I feel about it. Considering it was my pro debut and I didn't really think about it, but I guess it's not very common for most women to place top five at their pro debut. And then my brother, who he's one of my biggest cheerleaders. He goes, right. So, you won the overall at the Arnold, right? And then 3 weeks later, you place top four at your pro debut. And it's the 3 weeks later, I don't think I have settled with. So everybody keeps asking me how I feel about it. I'm like, man, I'm still trying to get over the Arnold. So I'm still trying to process mm-hmm. winning the yeah. overall Arnold, because 3 weeks later, you know, a week after show, my coaches were like, all right, so we're doing the Clash. All right. Like,
love
we
it.
Need you to get up and make it happen. So I did place fourth, and I'm very proud of that factor for sure. Did my babies proud that day.
It was a very stacked lineup. I know that for sure. So yeah, you were among greatness. So as far as, so with your preps, when they're 3 weeks apart, is there anything that you guys have to do like special when they're pretty close together? And then this one, is this one back to back or is?
Yeah, it's back to back.
Okay. Does that make it different?
No, not really. The back to back is, this is the first time I've ever had to do it. So like it okay. was, not hard. It's just like we get off stage Saturday. I had a really nice me and my coach went out to dinner together. She lives in Florida, so we had a really nice sizable dinner, you know. I really like a rack of lamb, so that's what we went and got. I had a couple of treats. My body is handling food very, very well, so I'm not like my calories aren't super low or anything like that as is. So we ate all the good things, had a couple cocktails. And then, Sunday we went right back into depletion. So that was new for me. I'm used to having a day. I'm used to having 2 days post show to like kind of do whatever and then hop back in on it on Monday. But it really wasn't that big of a deal because it was only a week out. I just, like I said, I had already pre-packed all my food for like individually, like set my meals aside for Sunday since I already knew they were going to be. So I took those with me to Florida. I didn't leave until noon, so I was able to get up and use the hotel gym that actually allowed me to get my delt day in, get my cardio in. It was Easter. My family is used to all the things, so when I got off the flight, I got in my car and immediately drove to my cousin's house where we were all gathered for Easter Sunday, met with my parents and my kids and all that. And it was just really like another day at the office. It's just kind of, I would not recommend back-to-back peak weeks for most people. Especially if you're somebody that's food focused at this level, I would hope that you're not. I would hope that at the pro level, you're not. But if you're somebody that's food focused, back-to-back peak weeks are not for you. You're probably going to struggle. Like I said, the hardest part about it was going right back to a lot of water. A gallon a day is more than enough for me. It's more than enough. And I am a teeny tiny itty bitty person. So anything above that is really like, I hate it here. So that was probably the hardest part. That was probably the hardest part, especially traveling, right? You're at the airport and like, I have to pee at least 20 times while I'm there waiting for my flight. And then as soon as you sit down and I'm looking at the poor flight attendant, like, hey, so listen, 30,000 feet or not, I'm going to have to get up and go to the bathroom and I'm probably not going to wait. So I just would like everybody to just settle with that fact and let me be great. The 3 weeks was a little different. Because we didn't really know what we were going to do. So the Arnold was on Friday, Saturday, I kind of lived my best life. And Sunday I definitely lived my best life. And then Monday got right back on my, pre-peak plans. That's what we did. And when me and my coaches hopped on a FaceTime to figure out what we wanted to do next. So Charlotte Cup was absolutely on the docket. I wanted to do that show so I could bring it full circle. The clash got thrown at me about 10 days out. My coaches were like, can you be in Florida on this date? And I was like, I mean, well, technically I can. And so we just would be a good show. It's the first bikini show, pro show of the season, technically that. And I think San Diego, they both had the same weekend. Yeah, the first ones to hit up. Orlando is just closest to me. Plus Sandy was head judging. That's just a good judge to get in front of. I always highly recommend girls that compete. If the goal is to turn pro, do some of the shows where Sandy is heading. So I'm not much had to change in the 3 weeks. My calories pretty much stayed pretty consistent. Peak week, you know, you deplete at the start and then fill out. Like right now we're at the fill out phase. Go me, my favorite part. All the rice cakes, all the sweet potatoes, give me all the things. I'm interested to see how we do this weekend, where we stack up this weekend, and how quickly we get back on stage after is really going to depend on how the weekend goes. Like I said, right now I'm handling everything well. So hopefully, all things considered, we continue to trend that way.
So ultimate goal, I mean, it's probably a silly question, but wanting to qualify for the Olympia this year?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I had somebody ask me that. Like, so do you want to get to the Olympia? What else would
I do? Yeah, like who, I know, it was a silly
what
question.
What other reason am I competing for as a pro outside of getting to the Olympia? And I'm, so it's going to be a long year in terms of, it's just going to be a lot of moving parts, because if we do qualify for the Olympia, well, we're going to do it, but we are doing the Arnold in 2025. So that's, it's just a, it's going to be a full year of just staying pretty consistent in where and where I'm at, diet wise and body fat wise.
Yeah. And so listeners that don't know that about the Arnold, how you, when you win the overall at the Arnold, it's an automatic invite for you. The next year, which is pretty cool.
It's so cool.
All your babies will get to go.
Yes, that's what I think I'm going to do, is make sure all my babies are there. I think that'll be good. I actually, my family has already pre-planned that. Like, we'll probably go and rent a house. They want to drive. I will do no such thing. Yeah, 2 hours is my limit. I don't care how bougie it sounds. 2 hours physically driving is the max. And you can get me to be passenger princess for up to six. After that, though, I'll see you at a, on a flight. I will see you on a flight. I will meet you there.
Yeah. So do you, are you a pro that looks at the list that comes out? I mean, it's very new, obviously, but have you looked at the list? Like, do you do that?
No. I mean, like, people will send you the list, whether you want to see the list or not. Like, everybody's like, look, it's on there. Like, So I've seen it, and I haven't, like, read through it. So I really just look to see the girls that I know personally. Like, Nicole Guccia, I love her. So, like, I know she's competing, so I was happy to see her. I competed with her at the Clash, so I was happy to see her. And then I met a woman named Marissa at the Clash, who told me she would be at Charlotte. So, like, but to actually, like, read the list and figure out who am I competing against, to be honest, no, because it matters none.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Can you give us some posing tips? What, since you are a posing coach, what are some things that people need to remember when they're posing?
Please, for the love of all that's holy, practice your vacuums, because you exhale at the wrong point, and learn how to breathe through your chest instead of your diaphragm. Breathing at the wrong point will make you look distended, even if you are not. And then footwork is everything, but less is also more. If you have a personality, if you love it enough, your personality will shine through, and that will literally, like, that sass that everybody tells me, like, oh, but you're just such a this, that, and a third on stage. I promise you, I'm not doing a whole lot with my body, though. I'm really not. I just really thoroughly enjoy being on stage. But yeah, tummy control, and then stop trying to mimic anybody else's posing routine. It never works out the way you think it does. You have a specific body type for a reason, and all of us, newsflash, are different heights. So I am a midget by no stretch of the imagination. My 5'1" is where I'm capping out. So there's no reason for somebody who's 5'9" to attempt to build their routine to look similar to mine. You're going to come out looking short and stout, and that's the last thing you want to look like on stage. Everybody is supposed to look long and tall. Oddly enough, though, I do get asked all the time what it's like to be a top tall competitor from so many women. I'm not. I'm a tiny tot. I am so itty-bitty. Like, I'm so small. I just look really long on stage. But tummy controls, making sure you're elongated and keeping your footwork tight. Stay in the box. Like, stay in the box. You're going to have to get compared next to people that are, like, I don't know, 6 inches away from you on either side. The last thing you want to do is be clumsily bumping into people. And then something I make all my clients do, when you get swapped, be the person that walks on the outside. I don't care what anybody says. I really don't. Make the other person fold. I don't care.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't care. I had somebody be like, well, you know, but then it just looks awkward when both people are doing it. I said, well, somebody's going to look more awkward than the next, and I guarantee you it won't be me or mine. Walk on the outside. Walk on the outside. Be the person that's seen. Half of posing really is just being the person that was seen the most.
Yeah, love it. So what are your top five things other than posing, or, you know, if you were to have a top five of the prep life of living it out, what other things are your favorite?
I love training. Training is probably my favorite thing in the world. Training came first, bodybuilding came later. So I've been training hard and heavy in the gym since I was pregnant with my son. So like it's been a little over 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and like I said, competing, I've only been competing the last four. So training would be at the top of the list. Being a pro sucks. You don't train the same. And I did not know that. I did not know that prior to, no one gave me a warning. So training at the top of the list. Secondarily, travel. I really do like that we get to go to different cities. Whether I'm competing or not, coaching, being at shows is a good time. Three would be the people. I have just met, I mean, my daughter's godmom is like, I met her competing. Like that is incredible to me. So the people that you meet, my NPC and IBB family are the best. They are unmatched. Shout out to Mo. I love her. I don't know if I have a two and one. I guess I like routine, but I'm a planner by nature. So I like the routine that is prep. Yeah, I think that's it, to be honest.
Do you have an athletic background? And also, if you can elaborate on what you were saying about how when you turn pro, the training.
Oh, yes. Okay, athletic background. I played basketball briefly in high school. I've always been in sports. Football is like, I just love football. So like, that's me and my dad's thing. So like, I used to want to coach football. So like I know football like really well. So I love using football. And then I did go to Old Dominion University for exercise science and sports management. So that is what my degree is in. So I was always going to be in fitness in some fashion or another. I started off as a PT before I opened up my own personal training organization that I later sold right before I got married. So that's where that's where my fitness background comes from. And training, just I just saw a girl with really big shoulders one day, and I was like, I want really big shoulders. That looks cool. And so I started training, and I do have genetics on my side to a degree. My dad is, he could not go to the gym for forever, but if he's in there for 30 days, his traps and his biceps and his triceps and his shoulders are going to get massive with little to no effort. So actually funny, and this will lead me into giving you more explanation on why training as a pro sucks. I got told not to let my shoulders get any more add any more size to them. That was my only feedback from the Army. They were like, no, everything's perfect. They're like, everything is perfect. Get on the pro, don't wait. I got told, don't wait, get on the pro stage soon, and don't change anything, but do not add any more size to your shoulders. And I was like, well, that's lame. And so then I got my first training split from my training coach, and I looked at it and I immediately wanted to fight her because I've never had somebody cap how much weight I can lift on a given exercise. I don't think people understand. I know I'm small, but strength is not a problem, okay? Like, I can easily squat 245 for reps. Like, that's like I like to move weight, okay? I can shoulder press on the little plated hammer strength machine. What is that? I don't know, a 45 and a 35 on each side. And she capped me at a 35-pound plate. I've never been more upset in my entire life. I threw my workout book across the gym. I said, when I get my training clips, I don't actually read them. I just kind of like, I'm just writing it. I'm like copying it. So I don't actually like thoroughly read it until I get there. And I got there and I was like, oh yes, plated shoulder press machine, my favorite. And then I looked at the little asterisk that I had wrote, it was like max 35-pound plates. And I just paused and threw and chucked my, notebook across the, and I texted her and be like, what in the world is this about? And so because I got told not to grow my shoulders, she's like, well, we're not trying to grow your shoulders. We're trying to maintain the size that they are, for one. And I guess really being a pro is, if, especially if you don't have a lot to work on, like if you're not actively being told to grow anything, the training is really about minute details. Like it's, you know, so it's geared towards, let's make your glutes a little bit wider. Like, let's make them a little more 3D. Let's add a little more upper shelf. If we're talking about maintenance, then you don't need to be lifting excessively heavy. But I enjoy embarrassing grown men in gyms, and I'm no longer doing that. So it's not as fun training is all I mean. I love, don't get me wrong, I'm grateful, and I love my coach to pieces. I do. She's just like a sister to me. But yeah, it sucks. I don't know another word for it. It sucks.
Lee, did you have a question for Stassi?
Yeah. So talking about like training differently as a pro, did you notice, I know you've only done one pro show versus a ton of nationals, but did you notice any big difference? What were the differences backstage, on stage with the whole show experience as a pro versus as like a national show?
So in terms of being the athlete in it, I definitely prefer competing as a pro. I didn't realize it's way different. It runs so much more like on schedule. So they told us we would be on stage at 11:30. We were on stage at 11:30. And that is not what happens at National. The show starts at 9 a.m. and you guys might see me around 1 or 2. So, and outside of that, but you have to be ready regardless, right? So we're getting up at 4 a.m. to get hair, makeup, tan done. Whereas, you know, the show started at 11:30, so I got up at 8. I checked in, I ate what I was supposed to. I started doing my makeup slowly but surely. I'll put some primer on, wash my face, put some primer on. Okay, I'll do my brows, do my eyeshadow. All right, I guess I'll start adding a little bit of foundation. It's time to contour. Like, I was just very much so like, la 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 la. Then I did my hair, straightened my hair, bumped the ends. And so we got backstage, like, I think right at 11 o'clock. So I love that. And because of that, you're done. Like, we're just done, right? Like, so I won't go on stage at Nationals to like 1 or 2, spend the, you know, 30 seconds that you spend up there. I do like that they, and they do this for pros too, but what I did always appreciate about Nationals is that call outs are done, right? Like, it's like comparisons, individual call outs. Love that. And that's similar to being a pro. The check-in process is different. You know, they're calling your name and handing you your number, versus, you know, just a bunch of people show up in a room trying to find your name on a sheet of paper, get you find your number, go get your height check. You know, you're going around a room. I actually went to the wrong room at first. And Richie, who is another expediter, I was like, I just came to get my number. He was like, well, you don't belong in here. And I was like, oh, whatever. He goes, in the main room. I said, oh, okay. And then Sandy, of course, was like reading my name because she calls me Stassi clearly. So she's like, I know, Stassi, get over here and get your number. So those are big differences. The show just runs through before you get 4. We started the finals at 4. We were done, I think, on the pro side, 4:30, 4:45, something like that, which gives me ample amount of time to go relax and like, I can wash the tan off, because newsflash, I hate wearing tan. I just feel like I'm black. What is the point? Wash the tan off and actually find a restaurant that's not going to be bombarded with all the, because as an NPC athlete, you're just kind of like hoping you can get in somewhere if you don't already have reservations, because everybody's going out to eat at the same time. So I really, that's a massive difference. Backstage, I will say, and I don't, you know, I'm sure pros will agree or disagree with me on this, the camaraderie is much, way different on the NPC side than it is on the pro side. The women, everybody is your best friend and everybody's your cheerleader on the NPC side. We all want to see each other do well. It seemed as though, like, backstage, like, because everybody's willing to talk to everybody. At least when I was an NPC athlete, we're all, hey girl, what are you doing? What height class are you? And da-da-da-da-da, oh my gosh, who's your coach? And pro, nobody's talking, like, unless they knew each other, right? Like, unless they knew each other. So, like, my teammate was there, and like I said, Nicole Boucher was there. There's a couple girls that I guess followed me on Instagram, unbeknownst to me, that walked up to me and had a conversation. But outside of that, those women are backstage sizing each other up. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is different. I mean, we're here now, sis, so I don't know what difference it makes, but okay. So for the most part, I just think people are, I don't want to say less friendly because that sounds mean, but I think less inclined to want to socialize is probably the best way to put it. That was a big, big difference I saw between being backstage as an NPC athlete and as backstage as a pro athlete.
Well, I can imagine it, as it being your career, you know, the stakes are a little bit different at that point. So,
yeah, I guess so. That's fair.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for competitors kind of, you know, getting into the sport? What would you say to your future self, like, before you started competing? What sorts of advice do you have for people?
Oh, so because the first mistake I ever made was the first coach I hired. So like, coach, like, two things. Do your research for one about the coach, and not just who they are and their background, but like other athletes and their experience with them, what their accolades are. I don't mean that to say like your coach needs to have turned 50 plus people pro, but you want them to be well versed in the industry and in the league. If your goal is to turn pro, if you want to be an IFBB pro, you need a coach that is well versed in what it takes to be an IFBB pro. So if you have, like, I know a lot of women that are like, oh, I just want a coach that's local to me. And I can never for the life of me understand why, because I don't know what difference that makes. But if your coach that is local to you hasn't networked with the NPC judges and IFBB judges, I don't see how that helps you like long term. So definitely do your research. And then two, on the coaching aspect, make sure there is a coach athlete like synergy. Like the relationship should, y'all should complement each other. You could have the best, like I personally think Kimoto is like the GOAT of coaches and no one could convince me otherwise. So if he could be your coach, but if the working relationship isn't a good one, it won't matter. like he can't coach you to success because you won't trust him, which means you will do things he doesn't know about. Like going to take supplements that, you know, like my coach may or may not know. And I just think this will work out best for me because I know my body best. That means you don't trust your coach. If you don't trust your coach, that you need to change coaches. That's not the coach for you. If you cannot head down and give the control over to somebody, you don't feel comfortable doing that, then either that's the wrong coach or you're not in the right mindset to prep. So those would be my two biggest tips. And then thirdly, you know, the stage goes nowhere. And so like, if you're, cause like I said, I was training for years before bodybuilding came into play. So I always had like my own athletes that are like, oh, I just can't wait to have shoulders like yours or glutes like yours. I'm like, this is 10 years in the making. My body has also been through some things. I have birthed humans. So that spread my hips and you know what I mean? Like little things like that have altered and shifted, and muscle maturity is a reality. That is a thing. That is absolutely a thing. And so don't be so quick to rush to get on stage. Make sure you have a solid foundation. And it's a fine line between waiting and waiting too long. Like make sure you have a solid foundation, but compete so you can get feedback from judges that matter. So you know how to better yourself for the future. So those are probably my top three. Research your coach, make sure you have a good working relationship with whatever coach you choose. And the stage goes nowhere. So don't rush that part of the process.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have different feedback? This is totally off in another vein, but it was really good advice. It just popped in my head. When you competed as a pro, was your feedback different there?
No, I've always been told, like, to get, my very first show was to bring, like when I, Mo was the head judge, I was, Charlotte Cup and Greensboro were my first two shows in North Carolina in the same year. Both shows, the first show I was just told to get leaner, a little bit leaner and grow a little bit. My second show I was told to fill out my glutes a little bit more. That had a lot to do with my coaching because she ran my legs into the ground. So when I got with Casey, my first feedback was just to get tight, leaner and tighter. And that has probably been the most consistent feedback I've had. I've never since I did the growing, since I went through the period of growing, I have never been told to grow anything. It's always been get leaner, get tighter. My feedback at Clash was to literally come exactly the same, but just get a little tighter in the core. And I looked at Trey and I said, right, because that's just so simple. And he was like, yeah, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you know, that's all I got for you. Get tighter in the core. So my feedback has been, I will say, pretty consistent. So like when girls are like, my feedback's all over the place, judges are inconsistent, they don't know what they want. My first question always is, who judged you from each feedback to each feedback? Like, were you getting in front of the same judges? Or are you getting in front of everybody all over the place? Because that's different. I was in front of Saturday, at least three or four, like I think the whole panel has judged me at least two, three times, like at least each. And so that's why my feedback is consistent, because they've seen me enough times to know what they want. They're also the judges that, like I said, their opinions don't matter more than any other judge. But if two or three of them are sitting on the Olympia panel, well, that weighs. That's where I want focus. So my only feedback, like I said, was to get tighter in the core. And something told me, I not that it was going to be core specific, but that my feedback was going to be tighter, because that's almost always what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you wanted to share with our audience?
Um, No, I think we covered everything. I'm a mommy. I got a lot of siblings and a massively sized family. I am half Mexican and Black. I don't think most people know that. And I would like to make sure that's the point, because I'm very, hence my name, Anastasia. I'm very big on my Latino culture. I was raised the Mexican way. I have it tattered on me, in fact. But I think that's, you guys asked me like a lot of really good questions. So I had to do the Bikini Diaries podcast. And this is like all different. I think that's really awesome. Like I just, exactly the same. No, it is not. And I love that.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time today. I am so appreciative. So I want to, you know, have the listeners be able to reach out to you and thank you for the advice that you've given, because it's just been gold. Or if they want to tag you on their stories and or DM you, maybe for some posing and coaching. So what are some ways that they can reach you?
Well, you can always find me on Instagram. That is at Stasi_lift. So that's at Stasi_lifts. Or you can always email me. That's easy too. That's Stasi@teambossbodies.com.
Awesome. So if you would like to tag us as well, we are found on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. I would be remiss if I didn't take the time to announce that we are having a posing seminar here in Kansas City on Sunday. Ooh. On your second pro show day. So yes, it's going to be held at the Sweat Vault, and IFBB pro Kim Seeley will be, she's also a judge here locally in the Kansas City area. She's going to be helping run that with all of the Glam Girl coaches. That will be from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. I think Lee Marie, you're going to put the sign up link in the show notes for Sunday's posing seminar. And this will, yeah, this will be live. So that would be April 7th that we have the seminar. So thank you so much for coming on, Stasi. We appreciate you.
Yeah, it was very nice. Thank you guys for thinking of me and reaching out. Truly, I was flattered and honored, to be honest.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for listening, guys.